Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Lisa Heim. Lisa is a motivational speaker and the author of the book, I'm Doing the Best I Can, They Won't Always Be Cute and Adorable. The book was created during her journey through parenting a teenager while trying to carry on with her own life. Lisa says, parenting can be pretty difficult at times if we aren't mentally healthy and prepared for the unexpected turns in the road, we might find ourselves feeling frustrated. Lisa shares her experience and inspires her audiences by challenging and motivating them to be simply amazing within themselves first. Raising children can be fulfilling when we are feeling good. During her journey, Lisa was offered a position as a radio talk show host. Her show, Everyday Parenting, is heard on www.radioearnetwork.com. with over 35,000 listeners from all around the world. Lisa is honored to present some of the most intriguing experts to her listening audience. She's interviewed people from all walks of life that leave you feeling inspired. Her guests range from New York Times number one best-selling authors to people who have experienced the most devastating life situations and pulled themselves out of the muck to be successful and powerful entrepreneurs. Lisa, thank you so much for being on our show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, Stacey, it's awesome to be here as well. Thank you for this opportunity.
So what inspires you to write?
You know, I found myself at a point in my life where everything was going along just fine. He was in middle school, getting ready to go to ninth grade, and we were excited to get him over there, and, you know, it was good. We had a good life. We communicated well. We, you know, we just didn't have the slamming of the doors. Once in a while, things would happen because he was the only child. So to me, it was no big deal to spoil him because I wanted him to have everything that I didn't have, because my generation, we wore hand-me-downs, or mom had to make our clothes. So, of course, I didn't want my, you know, prince to have to wear anything but the best. And, you know, financially I was working, my husband was working, so it wasn't a big deal. And just all of a sudden it was like we did a 180, and there was a shift that took place in the family that I was not able to mentally handle because I didn't understand where it all came from. And I began to journal. I would be up 2, 3, 4 in the morning just journaling my feelings. So, of course, my best friend became my computer because I just really didn't believe that anybody else gave, you know, any concern to me as far as what I was going through. You know, they had their own problems. I didn't want to bombard them with mine. There were a few people that I spoke to, but it was like, even though their children were going through the same thing, you always feel like nobody understands what you're going through. So even though there were a few there to, you know, to support me, it wasn't enough for me emotionally because I thought this was just my journey and nobody else could relate to it. So I began to journal, and then one day I got a little nudge from my higher power that said, you need to share what you're writing. And I'm like, no. And it was like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And then all of a sudden I'm in this restaurant and I meet this woman who's an editor, who I've never met an editor in my entire life. And just one thing led to another. And, you know, then the speaking engagements came, then television came and radio interviews. And now it's like I'm doing, you know, wonderful interviews with people like you. And I have a radio talk show now where I'm able to continue to press through and just kind of give people some hope. That's all I want to do when I write. I write articles all the time and send them off. That, you know, they're accepted on many different women's magazines online. And it's just, I want to give hope to people who may feel hopeless. So that's my passion. That's where I am right now with it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, you know, since you say you're interested in inspiring others, how does your writing inspire others?
Well, I've gotten a lot of wonderful, positive feedback, either right after I speak and or I've received emails of people that are, you know, they were at their wit's end. And at one point, you know, when you start getting emails that people are saying, I was ready to give up, and because of you, you know, I feel that I can get through it, that is more than anybody could ever want to know. And it's a matter of just being real. I just think being real is the most important thing. I'm not perfect, and my relationship with my son is not perfect. So when I say what I'm saying, it comes from my gut and hopes that I am able to inspire others to not make mistakes. And these mistakes that we're making along the way are extremely correctable, because a lot of times people are working with their children out of guilt, out of feeling that they're not giving their children what they need because they're at work or they're busy doing other activities and things of that sort. So a lot of children are being very confused by our own actions. And what my passion is now, where my talks have shifted from, okay, this is what I think, you know, from my experience could help, to all of a sudden allowing people to understand, you know, wait a second, if you're not healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally as the parent, you're going to have very unhealthy children. It just happens, because bad behavior creates bad behavior. So what we do is we look at the whole thing called parenting and say, you know what? You treat your people at work this way. You treat them with respect, with understanding, all the things that you need to do at home. So when you get home, you're tired, you're grouchy, you're worn out, and that is sometimes what we're filtering to our children. So they feel, wow, even when they come home, they don't have time for me. So I want to try to take the eyes off of how do we treat people on the outside of the front door versus how are we treating the people on the inside of the front door.
So when and why did you begin to write? I mean, I understand that you started journaling. Was this predominantly to help you through the situation? Talk to me a little bit about your process.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was definitely something that I felt I needed to do, and I'm not a writer. And when I went back and I was reading over some of the things that I had written, I was like, where is this coming from? But it was all meant to be. I don't have any experience in writing, but yet I am able to sit down. If one of my colleagues says, Lisa, send us an article, I am now so full of the passion inside me to know that I'm able to relate to the bullying, addicts. So many of our children have addictive behaviors, starting with technology all the way to drugs and alcohol and sex. And I'm able to listen to certain shows and get a little quirk. I hear a little quirk about this situation or that situation. And then I'm able to just sit down and I get my thoughts from so far down deep inside me that all I want to do is get it out and have it be in a format that is relatable. I don't want my fingers pointing in anybody's face, because there's always three of them pointing back to me. So it was the experience of losing control of myself and being angry and frustrated and negative for a few years during his high school genre that I just wanted to be different. And so now is my time that I get to be different. I've learned from my mistakes. And all I want to do is encourage people not to have to go through so much negativity. Our children really need some healthy mentors in their life, and that's us. I don't want anybody teaching my child what's going on. I want to be the one that he turns to, you know. Too many people got involved in his life and told him things that were totally against how we felt. And even other parents, that he would go to other people's homes and it would be a totally different philosophy, way of coping with things, and to me it meant that I needed, you know, I lost control, and I just don't want people to lose control, and it's happening in a lot of homes because I've talked to a lot of people, and it doesn't matter your financial situation, that you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company or you make $10,000 a year, we're having some family issues, and we just really need to figure out what's really important here, and especially now with all the insanity that the media is just throwing at us all the time. It's just adding to all this stress and pressure. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage people, keep your house in order. Keep your house in order. When you shut the front door, it's only about the four of you or the six of you, and through anything, you know, we can get through it as a family.
Yeah, I agree with you, because we focus on our team. Our family is Team Chadwell. It's the team. We're a team. We all work together. We all help each other. We back each other up. That's the, you know, it's and that's the way it is. It's just, and if somebody can't do their chore, you need to step in and help them, because that's, you know, that's how a team works.
And we don't see that a lot. It's like nobody's got any boundaries. Nobody's got any chores. It's just like clothes get thrown on the floor and they walk over them and they go out and they put their dishes on the counter. And it's like, wait a second, wait. Everybody has to have a position. And I think that's what we're not doing, is nobody has a position within the family. It's a free-for-all. And then we load up our children with all this technology that they don't need to talk to anybody, because all they got to do is push buttons on their cell phone. So now we have no face-to-face contact, because the people that they just spent like the last 8 hours with, they're in the bedroom with on their cell phone. And so what we need to do is we need to limit that. We need to start doing some face-to-face where we have family times, where you're able to bring out some board games or card games, or have a movie night where you make popcorn and put some candy out and you just have a great time. But we don't want to do that, because everybody's off doing their own thing. Parents are coming home from work and they got another hour's worth of work after they get home, or they have responsibilities. And the children are the ones that are, you know, they're taking it and they're feeling abandoned. I've never heard so many children say, if only my parents had spent some more time with me. And these are the kids now that are like 22 and 23 that before they would never say it. They were glad their parents didn't, communicate with them, because they wanted to do their own thing. And now that they're older, they look back and they go, you were always there and my parents weren't. And I'm not saying that to gloat, but it's, I mean, I figured, you know what, when you make that decision to have a child, you have to stay committed to it. Just like when you take that position at work, you have to stay committed to it. Because if you don't stay committed to it, you lose your job. Well, if you don't stay committed to parenting, you lose your child. And I hope not through death or anything like that, but you lose that relationship with them where they don't have anything to say to you. And then all of a sudden you decide that it's time to talk or want to do something, and they don't have time for you because you haven't been there for them. So it's like mirroring your career. How much energy do you put into your career versus how much energy do you put into your parenting? Somebody's getting the bottom end of the deal.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So when I was in college, I studied parenting. My degrees in psychology, one of them. And psychology, I had a paper that I had to do on, and I had to do a test. I did a study on other college students, and it was authoritative, authoritarian, and permissive parenting. And I found that the children who had permissive parents had the lowest, and its effects on esteem, had the lowest self-esteem. So the more the permissive the parent was, the lower the self-esteem. And the second, by a long shot, was authoritarian. It was authoritative, which was kind of in the middle where you talk to your children, but you still kind of say, this is the way it's going to be, but kind of have that give and take and give them some input. So
So I think it's interesting that you're hearing that from the 22-year-olds, because that was the age group, you know, 18, 19, 20, was the age group I was studying that I wrote my paper on. So
yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because I was talking about this, that they don't want these boundaries, but yet they need the boundaries, and especially in our society as it is today, there are too many crazy things going on out there, and people are getting a little too out of control, because if they can't have it, they're going to take it. And when you start seeing the negative behavior start, you know, it start to seed, and you're seeing a little here and a little there. I mean, we're not too naive that we're not listening to the news. I mean, it's all around the world. All around the world, things are going on. And so if we don't grab hold of our children and say, listen to me, no matter how bad it gets, we don't have to do drugs, alcohol, sex. We don't have to steal. We will get through this. And we need to really take care of our children, because these children aren't like the way I was raised. I don't know how old you are, but I think you're younger than me. But when I was a child, we didn't have any fear. There was no fear. You went three blocks away to go play. And I understand that the world has changed tremendously. But nevertheless, you always knew who was in authority at your house. And you didn't dare talk back to your parents. You never disrespected them. If they told you to be home on time, you better be in jail or the hospital if you were late. Because there was no exception to the rule. And so here the next generation came up and said, oh, no, I don't want to do that to my children, because I want my kids to have the freedom. You know, I mean, I was a little hippie girl back in the 60s and the 70s, and I felt the peace and the love. But it wasn't real. It was just, everybody was too stoned and you know, peace and love. Yeah, of course. You're all, you know, you're teenagers roaming the streets and just having a good time with each other. And then when it came to parenting, we wanted to keep this openness. And I'm not saying don't talk to your children. But even on television, when I see some of these shows, these housewives, and I see what's going on with their children, or you have Jersey Shore, you have all these things that are showing that we're highlighting bad behavior. So if you're not going to take hold of your children in love, respect, clarity, and peace, in a peaceful manner, they're going to get this stuff from what's going on in the world. So figure it out. What's important, you know, is earning that extra $200 for you to work, you know, maybe another hour or two at home every night, more important than your kid feeling, I'm doing things that I don't want to do, but I'm doing them because I just want the recognition of my parents. The question that so many of us should be thinking about, if you really knew me, you would know that, and then finish it. Let the kid finish it. That is, I was watching that on television, and it blew me away, the answers that these children were giving, because one of them was the star captain of the football team. He was the quarterback. He was the most popular kid at school, and he said, I hate football, but I do it because I want to get the respect and the recognition from my dad. I was sitting there sobbing. I was sobbing, Stacey, because I thought, how sad is that? And I bet his father doesn't have a clue.
I bet he doesn't. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Well, can I ask you a couple more questions on your writing? How do you define writing success?
When somebody says to you, thank you, I needed to hear that, or that touched my soul, or that was just perfect. When a complete stranger reaches out to you and says how you touch their heart, that to me, you know, obviously I could say by the sales of my book, or, you know, how many times I've spoken, but it's the feedback, and that's what keeps me going.
Well, what is your most powerful writing moment?
I wrote a poem to my son, and it's in my book. It's called Had I Known, and he was getting ready to leave to go off to college. He went to a culinary school a few months after he graduated, and it was supposed to be the best thing for him to get out of the environment and go over to the other coast, and he was in a fabulous culinary school, and I had written this poem, and I stuck it under his pillow the day before he was leaving, and I heard him crying. So I'm really, like, putting this on a very personal note, and I heard him crying, and that, to me, was the most important minute of my life when it came to understanding that I had a gift, that I could reach out and write poetry again. Never written poetry, Stacey. Never did anything like this. So that, to me, was the most important thing, because he walked out and he looked at me, and we just, you know, kind of fell into each other's arms. You know, as far as my book, you know, selling my book and having people email me and tell me, you know, how it relates to them, and thank you so much for sharing my personal, I'll just say journey, because it was personal and it was good and it was awful, and now it's good now. It's good now. That's the most important thing.
Well, what are the three most important personal tips that you could share for achievement and fulfillment through writing?
I think being honest, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're writing a self-help or inspirational book, be honest and let it come from your soul. I think being real, being down to earth, relating, being able to relate to what it is that you're writing about. I mean, I know there's fiction and there's nonfiction and there's self-help and there's, you know, I just think it's very, very important to just be who you are when you're writing, so that when people are reading it, they know it's real.
They can feel the authenticity.
Yes, I think that's extremely important, because, you know, like so many of these big motivational speakers, I mean, you see some things that have gone on in the past where there's been trouble. Now, if you were being sincere and you weren't being greedy, this would not have happened, because people want to grow, they want to learn, and I think that in order to be successful today, you have to be real and you have to be caring and you have to, you know, want to be available to your audience.
So how do these three things work for you?
Well, I just really believe that when you are down to earth and you are coming from your heart, I think that it shows in your work. And because of the responses that I have had, I see that being real and not trying to be any more than what I am, because, I mean, I get up and start talking. I'm telling you, Stacey, put me in a room and I don't know anybody. My hands start sweating. I get very nervous, very anxious. Put me in front of an audience of 300-500 people at a time that have come to listen to what I have to say. I have people crying. We're laughing so hard. I mean, I feel that I'm relatable. I believe that I'm something that is just ordinary, but I have a gift now, and I know I have a gift, and it's the achievements that I've made along the way to present some good, just, hey, it's not this hard. Parenting isn't this hard, but let's go back to the basics. And when I get the responses that I do, and they go, God, you know, I just feel like 100 pounds got lifted off me, then I know that I'm doing something right.
Well, what are your favorite writing tools?
Well, I mean, obviously, the words are the tools as far as I'm concerned, and what it is that I'm feeling. To me, I have to feel what I'm writing or I'm not writing it. I'm not just going to write something. So I do, you know, I do write a lot of articles for many magazines and stuff, and so that to me is extremely important, is knowing what it is that you want to do. I think that's very, very important. What is it that you want to get across to your audience? And I did, you know, I journaled for many years, but now it's like I don't need to journal. I get on the computer and I just take a nice deep breath and I say, okay, let me be a vessel. Let me write what you need me to write to help somebody else, because I have a very serving heart. I want to serve people and I want to, you know, inspire people to have an amazing family, because somehow or another, you know, we keep putting that on the lower burner, and I don't want people to do that anymore, because these children, they're so incredible today. They're so much smarter. They're deeper. Their consciousness is like many levels higher than I was when I was a kid. You know, when you've got a 5-year-old showing you how to work on your cell phone, that's serious, you know. But I know that I just answered totally off the point. But I just really think the words come from within me, and that's what I base it all on.
Okay, so if you had to do it all again, would you change anything about your latest book?
You know, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. I think now is the time to do part two of it, because it's called, you know, I'm doing the best I can. They won't always be cute and adorable. And so now it's time to say, okay, they're grown up. Now what? So would I do anything different in my writing? No. I think I did exactly what I was supposed to do at that time. But now I know there's much more to do as well.
Well, excellent. Lisa, thank you so much for being on our show. I appreciate you sharing your journey with us, too. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, allow me to be a part of this, because it's a very important topic right now, and I'm so honored that you have asked me to be a part of this journey with you guys. And I thank you, too, for having me.
Thank you. Lisa, do you have a website that you want to share with everyone again? Where they can
yes.
reach you?
Yes, absolutely. It's www.lisarhein.com. lisarhein.com.
And if you'd like more information, you can please go to the getei.com website. That's getei.com, where you can find out more information about Lisa Hein and her radio show and her website. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.